So I 100% agree and talk to my patients all the time about a virtuous cycle. And of course, what that means is that if you take a tiny step forward, the next step may become easier and the step after that easier still. It's very hard to get started, but changing your behavior, improving the way you manage your own life yields rich benefits for many people, and those benefits often increase over time. And I think virtuous cycle is the perfect description.
Imagine a non-pharmaceutical treatment that is as effective as a drug, accessible from home, and free. It's probably no surprise we're talking about exercise. And by now, many of us know about the benefits of exercise, but we might be concerned about it triggering another attack. To help us navigate this prevention strategy and potential trigger is Dr. Richard Lipton. Dr. Lipton, welcome back to the Migraine World Summit.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Carl.
What are the biggest obstacles to exercise for those who have frequent migraine?
Well, people with migraine, first of all, face the same obstacles that everyone else does. All of us have incredibly busy lives with competing priorities. There's lack of equipment, there's not knowing what to do. And then in addition, there's some particular obstacles that people with migraine may face. One of them is fatigue, because having chronic pain can be quite exhausting. Another obstacle is that in some people, exercise triggers migraine. And a third obstacle is one of the defining features of migraine is that pain is made worse by routine physical activity. So in times of headache, it can be particularly difficult to exercise.
What are the preferred methods of exercise for someone who lives with migraine?
You know, the studies that evaluate the benefits of exercise have generally focused on gentle aerobic exercise. So even walking 30 minutes on most days can be beneficial. Yoga is beneficial. Dancing and swimming is beneficial.
How much exercise are we as a patient population with migraine, are we getting? How much are we doing?
Well, you know, about a third of people with migraine exercise 2 hours or more per week, according to one study, and many people don't exercise at all. So it really varies a lot from individual to individual.
Is it true that exercise can be both a trigger and a preventive for migraine?
Yeah, so it's absolutely true that acute exercise can initiate migraine, whereas regular exercise can function as a preventive. And, you know, for many people, exercise will, on rare occasions, trigger migraine, but most of the time will not. There is another headache disorder called benign exertional headache where exercise regularly triggers headache. So for people with benign exertional headache, which absolutely is not migraine, the story is that headache is regularly triggered by exertion, often more intense exertion, and it's to be distinguished from exertional migraine, where exercise triggers a headache that meets all the diagnostic criteria for migraine. And for people who regularly have exertional migraine, that's the disorder where indomethacin an hour prior to exercise can be very helpful for highly motivated exercisers.
So what do we know about the pathophysiology of migraine? How can this type of thing trigger an attack in people that are susceptible to migraine?
Well, so there are a number of possibilities for the mechanisms that link exercise to migraine. So among other things, if you exercise for a long time in a hot environment, you can become dehydrated. In many ways, the physiologic response to exercise has elements in common with the physiologic response to stress. Your pulse goes up, your blood pressure goes up. the chemicals that regulate your pulse and blood pressure, catecholamines, go up. So that provides a potential mechanism. We know, in addition, that exercise can lead to elevation of a brain chemical called CGRP, or calcitonin gene-related peptide. And many of the new generation migraine therapies, both gepants and monoclonal antibodies, act to block CGRP to treat headache. So if exercise leads to a CGRP surge, that could be a headache trigger as well.
And you mentioned earlier that it doesn't affect the majority of people with migraine. It is a minority of people. Is it related to an individual's migraine threshold? And can you talk a little bit about that?
One of the hallmark features of migraine is that people live with a lower threshold to migraine. Things that don't trigger migraine or headaches in most people will trigger migraine in people with a very low threshold. So most women don't get migraine-like headache when they have their periods due to estrogen withdrawal. Most men don't get migraine following a night with too little sleep. But people who have a lower threshold to migraine are vulnerable to triggers that would not initiate headache in people who don't have migraine. And one of the ways of thinking about exertional headache related to exercise is that it too is a trigger in people who have migraine, whereas it wouldn't be a trigger in most people.
This might be a silly question, but if you're doing strenuous exercise, how do you actually prevent dehydration in the first place?
Well, you know, there are two broad approaches. I mean, one is to remain hydrated all the time, to drink fluids before you begin exercise. If you drink things like Gatorade that have salt and glucose in them, that enhances water absorption. And in addition to prehydrating before you begin exercise, you can also drink throughout your period of exercise, which is something many of us do quite naturally.
So we spoke about dehydration just now. We mentioned heart rate before. What other modifiable factors may help prevent a migraine attack that's triggered by exercise?
So there are a number of things associated with exercise that can increase risk of migraine. If you exercise outdoors, if you play tennis or run outdoors, glare from the sun is a trigger in some people. If you don't eat before exercising, hunger can be a migraine trigger. If you're exercising in hot weather, getting heated or overheated can be a migraine trigger as well. And so for people with migraine who are vulnerable to glare, wearing a hat and sunglasses can help. In hot weather, exercising indoors with air conditioning can help as well.
So with all these different things that we've got to juggle, like dehydration, glare, hunger, heat, should we just stop exercising? Like, is it worth the effort?
Oh, so I think exercise is entirely worth the effort. I think, you know, being committed to exercising every single day in face of a headache might not be worthwhile. So for people who find that exercising during headache makes their pain worse, well, probably it's best not to exercise strenuously and maybe not to exercise at all on a headache day. But for most of us, regular exercise will reduce the frequency, the severity, and the duration of migraine attacks, improve cardiovascular health, help us address a number of factors that may make migraine worse. And therefore, I think in general, it's very highly recommended, with the caveat that you need to see how your body reacts. If you have a clinician, work with your doctor on how to optimally manage exercise. But overall, I think the benefits far outweigh the risks.
How does exercise affect the brain?
Well, so exercise has a number of effects on the brain. I mean, first of all, exercise is very good for the blood vessels that supply blood to the brain. Exercise results in elevation of a brain hormone called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And BDNF has a role in maintaining blood health and improving memory, and even in preventing cognitive changes that occur in late life. Exercise elevates levels of the endogenous, the pain regulating system. So it elevates levels of opioids and endocannabinoids, which are brain systems involved in modulating pain. And so part of the benefit of exercise may come from its interaction with all those brain systems. In addition, one of the factors that contributes to headache frequency is obesity. So people who are very heavy and have a lot of fat cells often have a pro-inflammatory state, because fat cells make inflammatory mediators that are called cytokines. The cytokines can predispose to migraine, they can make migraine worse, and exercise not only controls weight, but it also reduces inflammation. And through those mechanisms, it can also have a beneficial effect on migraine.
So it can help with weight loss. It can help with pain modulation. So in some respects, exercise may be a natural painkiller.
So I think exercise in many ways is a natural migraine preventive and also reduces the frequency and severity of migraine.
We know that a lot of people with migraine also have trouble getting a good night's sleep and good quality sleep. Does exercise help with that?
Yeah, so exercise does help improve sleep quality. And, you know, there's an emerging story about sleep as a factor associated with migraine. And there are two main kinds of sleep disorders associated with migraine. One is sleep apnea, where people snore at night and temporarily stop breathing, and that can be a headache trigger. Sleep apnea is strongly related to obesity, so if exercise helps with weight loss, it can also help with sleep apnea. A second major sleep problem that occurs in migraine is insomnia, and exercise can often help with sleep onset and sleep maintenance as well. For many people, it's good not to exercise too close to bedtime because exercise is activating. And if we rev ourselves up with exercise at 8:30 and we want to go to bed at 10, it can interfere with sleep. So for people who have that problem, it's best to exercise earlier in the day. And then the final sleep problem that's associated with migraine is a disorder called restless leg syndrome, where people have the impulse at night to move their legs and to walk around, and they feel motorically restless. Exercise probably doesn't help with that so much, but if people with migraine have those symptoms, restless leg syndrome interferes with sleep and can make migraine worse. So it's a comorbidity well worth identifying and treating, even though exercise may well not be of great benefit to that particular sleep problem.
Does exercise help with stress?
Well, exercise absolutely helps with stress. And, you know, it's important to recognize that stress is a matter both of your circumstances and how you react to those circumstances. So for some people, public speaking can be very stressful. For others, it may not be stressful at all. So it's not so much the event, but how you perceive the event and the physiologic consequences of the event that determines its health effects in general and its effect on migraine in particular. So we recently, with Betsy Tseng, did a study where we looked at mindfulness meditation in people with migraine. And what we showed was that mindfulness improved disability in people with migraine, improved their ability to function, but did not much reduce the frequency of headaches they've had. So just as exercise for the body can be a treatment for migraine and a way of managing stress and depression and anxiety and many migraine comorbidities. So too, mental exercise, meditation, yoga, progressive muscle relaxation can all have beneficial effects. And of course, you know, we are not minds and bodies as completely separate domains of function. So mental exercise has physical effects and physical exercise has mental benefits as well.
It sounds like you can start a virtuous cycle through beginning exercise, starting out gradually, and we'll talk more specifically about tactics and strategies to do that. But by beginning exercise, you can start to improve your sleep. You can start to develop more resilience and sort of management of stress. And that in itself can create sort of a virtuous cycle in terms of reducing the frequency or severity of migraine.
I 100% agree and talk to my patients all the time about a virtuous cycle. And of course, what that means is that if you take a tiny step forward, the next step may become easier and the step after that easier still. It's very hard to get started, but changing your behavior, improving the way you manage your own life yields rich benefits for many people, and those benefits often increase over time. And I think virtuous cycle is the perfect description.
You mentioned depression before. How might exercise help with depression?
So depression is remarkably common in people with migraine. In people with episodic migraine, it's about twice as common in the general population. In people with chronic migraine, it's about twice as common as it is in people with episodic migraine. And we've shown in longitudinal studies that if you have episodic migraine and depression, you're more likely to get worse over time. You know, depression has a large number of fellow travelers. So depression in migraine travels with allodynia. That experience of ordinarily non-nociceptive stimuli is painful. It travels with obesity. It travels with anxiety. And it seems to be part of a symptom complex that can lead to a negative cycle. And there's evidence that exercise promotes weight loss. We know that bariatric surgery, and we know that behavioral weight loss interventions actually result in improvement in migraine. We know that exercise increases self-efficacy, self-esteem, and helps with weight loss and with depression. And so there is this multifaceted virtuous cycle, to borrow your phrase, which can help people get much better over time.
What evidence is there for exercise as a natural prevention strategy? Are there good quality studies supporting its use?
Well, so there are a large number of studies, some of them epidemiologic, some of them experimental. So epidemiologic studies broadly show that people who exercise more and have migraine have lower headache frequency, less disability, lower pain severity. In addition, there are a number of randomized trials where people with migraine are put into one of two arms. In one arm, there's regular exercise. In the other arm, there is not regular exercise. And when you compare over time, people who get who exercise regularly with those who don't, there's regular improvement in headache. There's also evidence that if you add exercise to a migraine preventive medication, that the group that gets both exercise and the preventive medication does better than the group that gets the preventive medication alone. There's evidence that if you randomize people to either an exercise intervention or to topiramate, that both groups do better and they do about equally well. You know, the challenge with doing rigorous research on exercise is you can't do a double-blind study. People are exercising, they know they're exercising. If they're working with a trainer or a physiotherapist, the trainer and the physiotherapist know they're in the exercise arm as well. So I would say the evidence that exercise is beneficial is very solid, but not at the same level as the exercise for certain drugs, because blinding studies is so difficult for exercise.
So we've had a few people from our community put in some questions, and one of those individuals was Daya, who said that exercise is a great stress reliever for her, but she struggles sometimes due to the pain, in particular any jumping or any movement where her head is lowered. Do you have any suggestions for that?
During migraine headache, there's dilation and inflammation in the cranial blood vessels. So if you bend your head forward, gravity actually pulls blood into your head, distends those blood vessels further, and makes pain worse. If you have a migraine and you climb a flight of stairs, your heart pumps a little harder to maintain blood flow to the head and the body. And again, blood vessels distend, and that can make pain worse. You know, one thing to do if you're exercising during a migraine is to choose exercises that don't involve jumping and then don't involve bending forward. One good example might be an exercycle. Another good example might be an elliptical trainer, where, you know, you don't have any pounding and you don't need to bend forward to do the exercise. And then on days when you're feeling good, that might be a better time to do yoga or jumping exercises, which might be difficult to do on a headache day. And in addition, if you're having headaches every day, I think the approach is to begin that virtuous cycle, to use exercise, to use behavioral stress management techniques, to use preventive medications, to use acute medications, to use lifestyle modifications. And many people find that as they take those steps towards feeling better, they can do more and more. But I wouldn't let, you know, a difficulty with bending forward stop you from exercising. I would try to find an exercise that you can do without it making things worse.
And that covers off some of the questions that Diane had mentioned. Another person from our community that said that exercise seems to make her migraine attacks worse, and whether she should push through or should she stop, and is it actually safe and or beneficial to exercise during an attack?
Well, so I would say it's not dangerous to exercise during a migraine attack, certainly. I would say pushing through agonizing pain is probably not worth it. I think what might be reasonable would be to back off on the intensity of exercise, maybe go a little longer. If you usually run, maybe walk. You know, movement is helpful. And if movement makes the pain so much worse that it's difficult to tolerate, I would stop. Lie down in a dark room, ice if that works, take an acute treatment if you have one that works, and pick it up the next day. But if, you know, the pain exacerbation is mild, or you can find an intensity of exercise associated with no or minimal pain exacerbation, then, you know, then it's certainly okay to exercise.
So Laura said that she had weight gain from her preventive treatment and is always in pain, either due to a daily headache or migraine. She never feels in the mood to exercise despite knowing its benefits. What encouragement would you suggest in this situation? She's been told maybe yoga, but where does she start?
Yoga can be difficult because there are a lot of head down positions like downward facing dog, which increase blood flow to the head and can exacerbate pain. So, you know, on the other hand, the seated yoga meditation might be possible. Walking might be possible. Riding an exercise bike on low resistance might be possible. You know, the wonderful thing about the virtuous cycle is that it becomes self-reinforcing. You know, for me in the beginning, exercise took tremendous discipline. And now I don't feel right if I don't exercise almost every day. I mean, I miss it. And, you know, it's a matter of starting slowly, acquiring a good habits, focusing on finding activities you enjoy, and again, proceeding, not taking just one step, but many steps where you invest in your health, you change your diet, you find a clinician you can work with, provide medications that can be useful, and you invest in yourself by making wise lifestyle choices like exercising. I know it's not as easy as I'm making it sound right now. In fact, I know it can be extraordinarily difficult, but what starts out difficult becomes easier and easier.
And I must say, in my experience, I've found that to be absolutely true. It was very difficult at the start, but it got easier and easier. And I'm at the point now where it's part of my routine. If I'm not able to get to it for any reason, I don't feel right. I need to get out there and exercise.
I'm with you.
Kerry said that she seems to get her attacks after the exercise is finished. Is there any way to avoid that?
So you know, that may be a form of what gets called letdown headaches. So when we look at links between exercise and stress, many people find that relaxation after stress can be a trigger. So it's possible there's a letdown phenomenon going on here. I mean, there are a few things that she might consider. One is making sure she remains hydrated while she's exercising, because sometimes post-exercise headache is due to dehydration. Another thing to consider might be cutting back a little bit on how rigorously she exercises, because the post-exercise headache may be due to overdoing it. And the third thing to do that I am very bad at is a cool down, just as a warm-up is important if people get headache induced by the onset of exercise. So doing some gentle walking and stretching at the beginning can be helpful. Doing some gentle walking and stretching at the end of exercise while rehydrating may help prevent post-exercise headache.
If someone wants to recommence exercise, how should they go about it?
Well, so depending on age and health status, it may be, it's usually wise to consult with your doctor, just determine your overall cardiovascular health. If you have a lot of cardiovascular risk factors, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, elevated homocysteine, a pro-inflammatory state, then you definitely should talk to a doctor before you begin exercising. And I think the best thing to do is to begin quite gently and to gradually increase the duration and intensity of exercise over a relatively long period of time. The National Institute on Aging recommends that adults should walk 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and stretch and do strengthening exercises for 15 or 20 minutes a few days a week. So for someone who's not exercising at all, that's a good goal to work up to. But again, if you haven't exercised for a long time, if you're older, or if you have cardiovascular risk factors, it's important to get medical supervision before beginning an exercise program. Among other things, it'll add to your comfort and confidence as you exercise.
As we know with the migraine brain, jumping suddenly into trying to do a 5-mile jog is probably not the best idea if you're starting from scratch or recommencing it. You know, a walk around the block, a gentle stroll, just to get things moving slowly, gradually, steadily. And then as you build more confidence, you're going a little bit further, maybe going a little bit quicker, but taking your time to do so and picking the right days and times to do it as well when you're feeling good.
Right. So one of the notions that runners talk about quite a bit is pace. And there's the notion of how you pace yourself over a particular session of exercise, that the pace that really matters, particularly for people with migraine, is how you pace yourself over the years and over the decades. And what you want to do is invest in your health invest in improving your ability to manage your own migraine, both using natural things like exercise and diet and sleep, and using pharmacologic things if need be. But what you want to do, you know, the goal is not to do as much exercise as you can today. The goal is to feel as well as possible by making that long-term investment in yourself, by pacing yourself over much longer periods of time. And, you know, for many of us, myself included, developing that sense of long-term pace is not so easy.
Well, I'm certainly ready to take off the suit and get into the exercise gear after today's interview. So it's been a delight and an absolute privilege, Dr. Lipton. Thank you very much for joining us on the Migraine World Summit.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.